Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. It's a common practice, I think most of us participate in, it is that one where we have something that occurs within our life that we want to share with other people so they can have a similar experience. For instance, you go to a restaurant for the first time, you find the restaurant to be fantastic, you tell your friends, you should go to this restaurant. Or if there's a particular dish that you had you thought was stupendous, you might say, well, you really should try the vodka penne or something like that to be able to have somebody share that experience that you found so moving. If you go to a movie and you see this movie and you think it was just out of this world, you're going to recommend the movie to other people. You should go see this. Or a book, you should read this book. And sometimes with books, you know, we'll take them and we'll give them to our friends and say, this is a book you should read. So the experience we're going to go through today is very similar to that. Because you see, there was a sermon, and the sermon was unlike any other sermon I had ever seen. And I thought, well, this is a sermon that you should see and hear. And so I thought, well, I could do one of two things. I could read somebody else's sermon, which really wouldn't be, in my mind, wholly ethical, or I could bring the preacher to you. And so I chose to do that. Jim Hansen.
Grace and peace to you from the mystery in whom we live and move and have our being. Good morning. It's good to be here. It was almost a year ago when your pastors invited me to come and preach on Stewardship Sunday, preach about money. Today they've invited me to preach about divorce. And in a couple weeks I'll be doing the adult ed on death and dying. So money, divorce, and death. Thanks for giving me the easy ones. I appreciate it. But just so you know, next Sunday's text, Jesus asks a rich man to go sell all he has and give it to the poor, and I'm just going to let you know now I'm busy. I have no idea what I'm doing, but I am busy. So some Pharisees came, and to test Jesus, they asked him, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife? And Jesus answered, because of your hardness of heart, Moses wrote this commandment for you. Okay, let's see how the divorced preacher handles this one. As I looked at different commentaries on this passage, I kept hearing about what a difficult passage this is for pastors to preach on, because there will be divorced people in the pews, and in our case today, here in the pulpit. And I had to ask myself, why? Why is this passage more difficult than other passages that deal with sin and brokenness? When Jesus talks about money and riches as a hindrance to entering the kingdom, why isn't that a difficult passage to deal with for a pastor? After all, I assume everyone sitting in the pews has money. When Jesus talks against judging others, why isn't that a difficult passage? I'm going to assume we have all judged others. Is this passage more difficult because the brokenness is public? A matter of public record? Is it because it can't be hidden? It is there for all to see? I'm not sure, but for all the divorce that occurs in our society, why shouldn't we be able to talk about it? So let's talk about it. And let me address this time to all who have experienced divorce, and to those of you who haven't, take the next 10 to 12 minutes off. Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife? Well, that's an easy one to answer, yes. You can go to any courthouse Monday through Friday and begin the process. It is absolutely lawful for a man to divorce his wife and for a woman to divorce her husband. Otherwise, everyone who divorced would be in prison. So yes, it is lawful for a man or a woman to divorce their spouse. Even Moses agrees. But as you've already figured out, that is not the issue for Jesus. The Pharisees wanted to make divorce about a piece of paper. Jesus makes it about a hardness of heart. Because of your hardness of heart, Moses wrote this commandment for you. Uh-oh. You know that line we like to draw between good people and bad people? You know, the divorced and the non-divorced? Well, that line just got wiped out, erased, eliminated. Because now divorce isn't about a piece of paper. It's about the hardening of one's heart against the other. And a piece of paper doesn't make it right. So now, any couple that's ever laid in bed with 4 inches between them physically, but 400 miles between them emotionally and relationally, well, according to Jesus in this passage, they have been divorced. In other words, it doesn't take a piece of paper to be divorced. Divorce is not a noun, it's a verb, it's a relationship, or should we say a lack thereof. So now I'm just going to go out on a limb and say that every couple I've ever met has been divorced at some point in their marriage. They just didn't go through the legal process and make it a matter of public record. Well, that kind of messes with my holier-than-thou, self-justifying personal purity and piety, doesn't it? And even worse, divorce isn't limited to married people. A divorce occurs wherever there is a hardening of the heart, which means I've experienced divorce with my kids because they were, after all, 2 years old and teenagers at some point in their lives. And I've experienced divorce with just about every boss I've ever worked for, except my present one, because some of you may know him, and I don't want you to go talk to him. So, and I pretty much experience divorce every time I drive down Pima Road with at least one or two drivers. So now with this new definition of divorce as a hardening of the heart, let me again say I'm going to address this time together only to those who have experienced divorce. And those of you who haven't, take the next 10 to 12 minutes off. You see, for Jesus, life isn't about being right or wrong. It's about relationships. The greatest commandment isn't be right with all your heart, soul, and mind. No, it's love with all your heart, soul, and mind. You see, for Jesus, life isn't about being right or wrong. It's about being in loving relationship. Which is why I find it almost amusing when someone who finds out I'm divorced comes up and says, you know, divorce is wrong. And my response is what has become to be referred to by people who know me as my divorce rant. And here it is for you. Really? Divorce is wrong? I wish it was just wrong. I wish that's all it was. Wrong is what you get on an answer on a test. Wrong is half the players I played in my fantasy football league last week. Being wrong is the least of the problems of being divorced. Divorce is destructive. It is damaging, it is depressing, and it is despairing. It destroys your relationship with your ex. It damages your relationship with your children, if there are any. It disturbs your relationship with your common friends. It wreaks havoc on your emotions, your spirit, your finances, your whole being. It brings about questions and doubts you never wanted to face about yourself. Divorce is wrong. Dear God, I wish it were just wrong. And I wish a piece of paper could make it right, but it can't. Okay, end of personal rant. Now, if divorce is so awful, and it is, why is it that the Christian response to divorce has more often than not been more divorce? Just this past week, I talked to someone who had been kicked out of their church because they had gotten a divorce. In other words, the church divorced them from the community because they were divorced. And since the church can't sanction divorce, it must divorce itself from all who have been divorced. Makes perfect sense, right? So often we in the church have brought God into the issue of divorce to justify more divorce, a hardening of our hearts towards others. It reminds me of the time my oldest son was hitting his younger brother. And I grabbed him and started spanking him, and I yelled at him as I spanked him, "We don't hit each other in this family." So often, we in the church have brought God into the issue of divorce to justify more divorce, a hardening of our hearts towards those who have been divorced. So if you want to tell me that divorce is wrong, I won't disagree with you. In fact, I will tell you that saying it is wrong only trivializes it, only scratches the surface. And if you want to tell me that divorce is outside the realm of God's will, I'll even agree with you on that. I can't imagine God wishing a divorce on anybody. But if you want to tell me that being divorced puts me and others outside the realm of mystery's grace, that it divorces me from divine mercy and forgiveness, uh-uh. No way, not possible. And if you want to tell a woman who is in an abusive relationship that she will step outside of God's grace and mercy if she gets a divorce, not a chance. Because that's not a marriage. She's living not in an abusive marriage, but an abusive divorce situation. And staying in that abusive divorce situation, relationship, is not God's will in any way, shape, or form. And let's go back to my relationship with my boys. During their teenage years, they pretty much lived outside the realm of my will. But they were never outside the realm of my love or forgiveness. They never stopped being my sons, and I never stopped being their father. No, being divorced does not put you or me outside the realm of divine grace and mercy. And why can I say that? Because in the night in which Jesus was divorced, I mean betrayed, which is definitely a kind of divorce, don't you think? A hardening of the heart. In the night Judas divorced Jesus with his betrayal, and Peter divorced Jesus with his denial, and the rest divorced themselves from Jesus as they abandoned him and ran away from him. In that night, Jesus took bread and wine and gave himself to them for their forgiveness. He remembered himself to them in their separating, their dismembering, their divorcing themselves from him. And he didn't stop there. For the next morning, he hung on the cross after being tortured and spit on and mocked and beaten, which I think would qualify as a hardening of the heart and a divorce between him and humanity. He hung on that cross and said, "Father, forgive them." But here's the real kicker. On that very cross, he also cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Or in other words, my God, why have you divorced me?" Even the divine mystery has experienced divorce. It is not a stretch to say, using the Trinitarian metaphor, that on the cross the Father divorces the Son, abandons and forsakes the Son. It is, as we say in our creed, that Jesus descended into hell. It is, as St. Paul says, Jesus became sin. Or to use the theme for today, he became divorce. And it even leaves a lasting scar on the Christ, as he still carries the wounds with him in his resurrected body. No, divorce does not put you outside the realm of the divine, the mystery, the Christ, because even divorce has been taken up into the divine mystery. Look, if divorce is, as Jesus says, a hardening of the heart, then there is enough divorce in this world, and it's not just limited to marriage. If divorce is, as Jesus says, a hardening of the heart, then there is enough of divorce in this world, and I would like to say, and let's not bring God into the issue to justify more divorce, a hardening of our hearts towards others. Except here's the thing. God has brought God's self into divorce. God has experienced divorce. You see, on the cross, God willingly became a divorcee so that you and I will never be divorced from the divine, the mystery, the Christ. Amen.